Hello, everyone, and welcome to this session of FreightWaves Autonomous and Electric Vehicle Summit, where we will be talking about regulations and potential regulations affecting manufacturers and operators of autonomous trucks. My name is John Gallagher. I'm senior editor at FreightWaves, and joining me is Wiley Deck. Wiley is vice president of government affairs and public policy for Plus, which is a self-driving truck technology company. Wiley, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Well, thanks, John. This is an important and interesting topic, and so thanks for having me.
Great. Well, let's jump in. Prior to joining Plus this past May, you spent 25 years in the federal government, and most recently heading up the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and you were also at DOT, which gives you a distinct perspective on how regulations affect trucking. So I wanted to start by asking, how do you see the role of regulations in the development of self-driving technology right now?
That's such a great question, John. The creation of these regulations that govern how these new technologies are being adopted and integrated into our existing systems is very important. And it's important that the companies that are engaged in these types of endeavors are engaged with the Department of Transportation, FMCSA, and NHTSA. And it's very critical that at some point we move away from the patchwork of regulations that we're seeing across the country, where states which are able to react and move a lot faster than their federal counterparts on engaging and enacting regulations and laws governing the applications of these new technologies. But at some point, the federal government will need to step in and create an even field out there for everybody to operate in, because where these companies are primarily focused is in the interstate transportation of goods and the long haul trucking aspect. So as you move from state to state and you're transporting interstate goods, the federal government regulations are going to be key into leveling out that that environment of which these companies and fleets operate these new technologies.
Yeah, and you're right. You do hear all the time that states are being more proactive than at the federal level in issuing these guidelines and regulations. So do you see that as well from your role at Plus? Could you say a little bit more on like what needs to change there, Wiley, with regard to this dynamic that's been playing out so far between the state and local oversight and federal oversight?
Well, I think right now the federal regulators are kind of letting things play out. They've taken sort of a hands-off approach, letting the technology develop and grow. But at some point, they will step in, and as more and more states, you've got some states that are very light on regulations and very accommodating, and you've got other states that are a little bit more restrictive and have additional requirements for the testing and development and deployment of these technologies. Some states won't allow the testing or deployment of autonomous trucks at the moment, but are currently, and this is part of my role with Plus, is working with states towards accommodating these new technologies, especially in large trucks. As we've seen over the past few years, the growth and the interest of autonomous trucking and more players getting into that field and fleets expressing their interest in adopting these new technologies. But at some point, again, it's working with the states, whether it's through the state law enforcement offices, the legislatures, the DMVs, and in conjunction with coordinating with FMCSA and NHTSA, working together along with everybody in the industry, the other AV trucking companies working together towards that common goal.
I see. To get a little bit more specific, let's take hours of service, for example, and this industry. So how do you see hours of service regulations potentially changing with respect to the operational changes that are happening inside the cab as the level 3 to 5 autonomous driving systems develop?
So we just went through while I was at FMCSA the last round of hours of service modifications. But and we heard just recently from FMCSA that they are looking at the possibility of making adjustments to hours of service to accommodate like team drivers. So you would have a human safety driver that would operate the vehicle at some points during its trip, and then the team member of the computer would take over the highway portion or whatever operational domain that is set for that. But we're already looking at those possibilities. Now, at some point, it'll have to be addressed on once the driver is taken out. At some point in the future, you know, once we've accumulated the data we need to safely remove the driver, how do the hours of service come into play at that point? So these are all dialogues. The whole industry is engaged with FMCSA on these conversations. That was one of the things that while I was there at the agency and was responsible for autonomous trucks, I had regular meetings with every company that was involved in AV trucking. They were very forthcoming in information and working with the agency in order to help move this technology along.
It's sort of a bit of a follow-up to that. So Plus has noted that its deployment model, aside from saving fuel costs, and I believe that I think you guys estimate 10 to 20% savings in fuel costs. But aside from that, and also, you know, improving the safety and driver comfort, it's designed to help fleets address the driver shortage. So what is your estimate of how many less drivers a trucking operator may require once your model is commercially available? And yeah.
So that's a good question. We have a commercially viable and commercially available system now. It's currently being installed on trucks for fleets. And what that has is a supervising driver. And what we talk about when on the driver shortage issue and how our system can help with that is in driver retention. What we've seen is in the past, you have fleets that have 100%, 120% turnover in their drivers. That's because this job is tough. It is one of the toughest jobs in transportation. It's the fourth most dangerous job in the American workforce. So if we can help companies make the job safer, more comfortable, easier, that will help companies and fleets with their driver retention, making the driver's lives easier and better and allowing them to do their jobs more efficiently. So that's where we get the benefit through the Plus Drive and its availability now, so that companies aren't having to wait years for the possibility of removing that driver. It's let's install the systems now, make life better for the driver. Again, we're seeing driver shortages. And what I saw at the FMCSA as of last year, I won't say it a mass exodus, but there are a large number of drivers leaving the fleets and moving into owner-operator status. So while the drivers are still in the mix and in the industry, the fleets were suffering because they were losing those drivers that they needed. And if you can make life better for the driver, then that will help with that driver retention.
So in other words, if you're an employee driver or even an independent owner operator, you're saying they don't have need to be worrying right now.
Oh, absolutely not. So you look at the scope and how large this industry is. 90% of the trucking industry is made up of companies with 10 or fewer trucks. If you're a driver now and you like driving, you can retire as a truck driver. But in the meantime, let's make their lives better and easier and safer, not only for them, but for the motoring public around them.
NHTSA just recently issued a standing order requiring 108 companies in the autonomous vehicle space, plus included, submit crash data to them very quickly, quick turnaround time within a day of the company being notified that one of their autonomous systems was involved in this crash. So the first question on that, were you aware, Wiley, that this was coming out first? And then second, what are your thoughts or concerns now that this has been mandated?
So I will say that it did come as a surprise. NHTSA was very close hold on their efforts on this standing general order. My concerns are, I really wish they had engaged the industry more in the development of this. Again, I'll go back to my time at the department, and all of these companies were very engaged with not only NHTSA, but for the trucking folks, they were very involved with FMCSA. We had constant meetings with them. They would always update us on where they were testing, what they were working on, any issues that they were having. So, like I said, I really wish that NHTSA had been more engaged with the industry on the development of this order. You know, we all want safe operation of these vehicles on our roads. At some point, you know, you said 108 companies. You know, as this technology develops, there's going to be more. So they're going to have to make modifications. I know that they will be putting out for notice and comment aspects of the reporting requirements. So we'll take a look at that and work with our fellow AV truck folks and our other AV industry folks towards improving what NHTSA is requesting. Again, we want to be forthcoming. We want these vehicles to be safe and integrated safely for the motoring public. And we're happy to work with both NHTSA, FMCSA, and DOT.
Have you been in touch with NHTSA since they issued that mandate?
I have. They they're very helpful. The folks there are just fantastic to work with. Never had any difficulties getting an opportunity to meet with them, and so. Like I said, looking forward to continue working on not only this reporting requirement, but other aspects as we move forward in this technology.
Gotcha. So everyone's switching gears a bit. Everyone's, you know, waiting to see what happens with these infrastructure proposals that the Biden administration and Congress are working on. What do you see, Wiley, in these bills that the autonomous trucking sector should be, you know, either happy about or worried about even?
So nothing to be worried about. There's some language in the House version, in the not only in the infrastructure bill, but let's tie in the highway bill to that, that deals with autonomous, with automated emergency braking systems and that type of thing. But I think what's really encouraging, and I applaud Congress and the Biden administration for pushing the funding of smart infrastructure, which will benefit the increased automated driving systems efficiencies as they travel through our highways and interstates and even on our in our communities with the last mile deliveries that we've seen with some of these new companies that are out there. So it's very encouraging that they recognize that this technology is coming and that they are working to integrate that safely into our current transportation system. And I'm very much encouraged by what the Congress is doing, and the Biden administration has signaled that they're very much moving forward with not only passenger autonomous vehicles, but autonomous trucks as well. And we look forward to seeing what FMCSA puts out later this year on the rulemaking that I had started back at FMCSA 2 years ago. So looking forward to seeing what comes out of that.
Great. And just before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you about that sort of, about that. And in addition to that FMCSA proposal, anything else that the industry should be looking for, either from FMCSA or NHTSA or anywhere else, or DOT or anywhere else affecting the industry that people should be keeping tabs on?
So I think that besides the one I just mentioned that the FMCSA will be putting out, you know, NHTSA's obviously this is one of their main areas that they're working on. They've got some regulations out. One on they are already starting automatic emergency braking issues, passenger safety rulemakings. So there are a couple out there, but there's nothing significant right now for the automated trucking folks that either NHTSA or FMCSA, other than the ones I just mentioned, that they should be overly concerned about. And the nice thing is that generally when they are working on these regulations, we get advance notice through the spring regulatory agenda and the fall regulatory agenda. And as a part of the rulemaking process, everybody gets their say. So that's what rulemaking takes a long time to do, years to accomplish. But during that process, there are a lot of points where the public gets their opportunity to help craft and help shape that rulemaking. So looking forward to seeing what comes out of the department and this administration.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there, Wiley. So thank you again for joining us today for your very valuable regulatory perspective on this next stage of development in the trucking industry.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate this opportunity, and I hope you have a great rest of your event.
Great. Thank you. And thanks to everyone out there